verse it says to be in health. By the way, there's no place in the Bible where it says that God wants us to be sick. By the way, also, I chose to teach on healing today because most of us are doing okay. You know, when everybody's feeling bad and you teach on healing, they might feel worse because they could condemn themselves. We're going to talk about that too. But health. God never in the Bible says that he wants us to be sick. But many, many places, and we're going to look at a couple, he talks about how he wants us to be in health. Even right here in these physical bodies in which we live right now on this earth. To be in health is even bigger than just physical health. You know, a lot of people read this verse, and I imagine just because of the words that are used, they think prosper means more money, and they think to be in health means to be healthy. Well, it makes sense because that is what those words mean in English. But they're much deeper than that. That prosper is really to be led in a good way. It's to do well in all things, God's desire for us. And this to be healthy is more than just physical health. It's wholeness, W-H-O-L-E, wholeness, for us to be complete, to be completely whole. Now, that could be physical health. It could be mental health. It could be a lot of things. But see how big God's desire is, what his desire is for us? It's what God wants. So God is a God who heals. All sickness comes from sin. All sickness comes from sin. Now, that doesn't mean that if you're sick, it's because you sinned something really bad last week. All right? But our nature that we got from Adam is a sin nature, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And written into that sin nature, unfortunately, is unhealthiness also. Mm. Yet God's desire and God's ability is to heal us, to take us from unhealthiness. So let's say you get sick. Well, so what? It's written into these physical bodies that we have. Let's just not forget, if we get sick, that we have God. We have God who heals us. Exodus 15. Actually, we're not going to turn there. I'd like you to turn to Psalm 103, please. Psalm 103. I'm just going to quote you the end of Exodus 15, 26. It says, "For I am the Lord that healeth thee." For I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's our God. He is a God of healing. Psalm 103. Here a psalm attributed to David. "Bless the Lord," verse 1, "O my soul." Who's he talking to? Himself. "O my soul, bless the Lord." You know, he's talking to himself. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Who? The Lord he's talking about. And you know, when you read the word Lord in the Old Testament, almost every place, maybe every place, where it says Lord, it's that word Jehovah. That's God in relationship to us, to those whom he's created. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases?" I mean, is that what it says? Yeah. Well, if that's what it says, and we say we believe the Bible, this is something that I would think we would believe. That very clear here, right? "Forgiveth all thine iniquities, healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth," verse 4, "thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Wow. That's the kind of God that we have. That's the kind, and it's the same God that David had that we have. He has that same nature. So look, God knows that we live in these physical bodies. Remember, he formed and made these physical bodies, this soul that we have? But don't forget, he also created within us Holy Spirit. And God is a God who can make alive, who can even quicken our mortal bodies. Exodus chapter 23. We're still going to Exodus 23. Here's the kind of God he was to Moses. 23:25. And ye shall serve the Lord your God. 23:25. And he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. So if God says he can do that, I guess he can do that. Mm-hmm. He can take sickness out of the middle of you, out of the midst of you, he's telling these people here. Verse 26, there shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. Well, we're sons and daughters of God. Really, would God do less for us? Would he? He's in our administration. We have as much as God could give to anyone. It's really amazing that we live in this time. Somebody prayed or something about something. You know, we're in this administration. I guess somebody did. We're in this administration. We have all these amazing privileges living at this time, this one little slice of history that God kept secret since the world began. Psalm 41, let's go there, please. Psalm 41. We all get sick. Okay, so what? So what? Don't feel bad because you're feeling bad. Don't condemn yourself because you get sick. We all get sick. It's just part of this nature that we have. But let's not forget, God is a God who heals. So we get sick and then we go to God to heal us. Psalm 41, verse 1, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The poor means the humble, okay? The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. That's kind of neat. Somebody who's humble before God. Remember it says in the New Testament, he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. This is not so great in the King James. Some of them are better. Sustain him on his sick bed in his illness. Right? God will sustain him on his sick bed in his illness and restore him to health. That's what those words mean. And restore him to health. That's what God can do. That's what he wants to do. But I thought this next verse also is just very significant, especially as we're going into the time that we celebrate communion. Verse 4, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. There's a connection here between sin and sickness. And we're going to see it another place in the Bible. Sin and sickness, they're connected. We have sickness because of sin. And it's just not necessarily because of something we do when we sin. But remember, we have a sin nature, okay? So look, if you get sick, so what? You get sick. Maybe you, I don't know. I don't know why you get sick. It's just because it's written into our nature. So don't freak out about it. Don't condemn yourself about it. So we get sick. It'd be nice to make it through life without ever getting sick. Oh, missed that one. Okay, Isaiah. Isaiah 53. But to be honest with you, would God have invented healing if he didn't think we'd ever get sick? It'd be kind of pointless, right? I'll heal you. Excuse me, I'm fine. You know, Isaiah 53. A prophecy of something to come here, Isaiah 53. See, Jesus Christ came to bring full deliverance, complete deliverance, complete wholeness, complete salvation. That's who Jesus Christ, he's the complete Savior. Every single thing he covered, He fulfilled every little piece of the law. And here's something that we read that he also fulfilled. Don't forget, it came at a great price. 53 verse 3. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. The word sorrows means pain, physical or mental. He's a man of pain. Why? Because of what he took upon him for us. And acquainted with sickness or disease. He was acquainted with it. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our sickness or disease. Surely he took it upon him. He bore it and carried our physical and mental pain. He did that. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our wrongdoing, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our sins and guilt, for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the sins and the guilt of us all. What an amazing, wonderful section of scripture. So sad in one way what Jesus Christ had to endure. But he was the one final and complete sacrifice that took away from us all sin, took away from us all sickness, took away from us condemnation, guilt, all of the kinds of things that come with the sin nature that we inherited from Adam. Jesus Christ gave us deliverance from that. You know where it says the chastisement of our peace? That's a figure of speech. It's the genitive of cause. And what it means is the chastisement or the discipline that brought us peace. That's what he did. He took that disciplining of himself and went through what he went through, and that brought us peace. That's literally what it says in the English Standard Version. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. So he said, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. So who bore the iniquity? He did. He bore it. He bore it for us. Is it any longer upon you and me? Uh-uh. That would be a no. Matthew chapter 8. But if we don't accept what he did, if we don't believe what he accomplished, well, we won't have all of that that he provided. Matthew chapter 8. Without accepting him, we live under the consequences of that sin nature that we have. And that's fine if you want to, but I don't think anybody here wants to. We can accept what God says, and we can claim the promise that we have healing. It's a wonderful thing that God gives us. Where did I tell you? Oh, Matthew 8. Oh, yeah. So look at this. Here's the fulfillment it tells us about. Chapter 8, 16. When the even or the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. How would you like that? You go into town and they bring every raw character from across the whole town to see you. Well, the good news is what says next. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. See, it's no problem for us either because we have his Holy Spirit. Somebody could come to us in the worst of conditions. You and I have the power to help them. We have the power to heal. We have the power to bring deliverance, both now in this life and to give them the opportunity for eternal life, the greatest healing of all. Then it says, verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. We learn in the New Testament that Jesus Christ was our Passover, who was sacrificed for us. The whole idea of the Passover was, again, a type, It was that which was the foreshadowing of that which Jesus Christ completely accomplished. That for once and for all, that we could have salvation, we could have forgiveness of sins, and we could have healing. And he did it. He did it completely. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Anyone know what that says? 2 Corinthians 5:21. I'll give you a hint. Made him to be sin. Who knew no sin that what? Made the righteousness of God in him. Very good. That we might be made the righteousness of God. What did God do in order for us to be made the righteousness of God? He made him to be sin. Him who knew no sin, Jesus Christ, God made to be sin for us so that we could be now the righteousness of God in him. Well, he took the sin on us. Let's leave it where it was, okay? And let's accept the forgiveness and let's accept the healing. 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings and chapter 20. You know, there's different kinds of healing. I was thinking of four of them. Maybe I should think that there's more like five of them, in a sense. You know, we all have used the expression, I think, third aid. Third aid. So first aid is to go to God. So first aid, when you get sick, and it does happen, the first thing, go to God. Go to his word, put his word in our minds, and go to God and say, Father, please give me that healing. I claim the healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one that took our sin and sickness. He's the one that was the substitute for all of our sins, and he's the one that brought us complete deliverance. So that's the first thing that we do. We go to God. The second thing is, let's say I get sick, okay? I go to God first. Father, here's what your word says. Please heal me in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's say I don't get well right away. Well, we have an amazing other option here. It's called the manifestations of the Spirit. Anybody here of Holy Spirit? Let me hear you speak in tongues. There it is. And you just did something impossible by speaking in tongues. By the way, we each have Holy Spirit. There's nine manifestations, right? One of them is called gifts of healings. Gifts of healings. What's the purpose of gifts of healings? So some esoteric person in some special situation can do something great? No, every one of us has Holy Spirit and has the ability to manifest that Spirit in all nine ways. And we should rely upon each other when we need it to minister healing to us. So you don't know a lot about it, or you haven't done it too many times. Well, when in the hell are you going to start? I'm sorry. But, you know, why not? Why not? Remember Dr. Werwell telling us, I think it was 50 people, the first, well, he didn't tell you guys, but the first 50 people, I think it was, that he ministered healing to died. Now, that's not a good vision for us, but the point is, he kept at it, working it, that he got that down. And I saw Dr. Werwell and how he operated. I watched him once in New York, walking down, we had this big meeting in a church. He walked down the church and he touched people and I saw them get healed as he's walking by. Mm-hmm. He walked with the Spirit of God and so can we. But if he gave up on number 37, well, those people in New York wouldn't have gotten healed. How about you and me? We got Holy Spirit. It's up to us to decide to manifest it. So look, when you first spoke in tongues, did you do it perfectly? You did, Stephanie? You don't remember. It's okay if you did. It's okay because it is easy, you know. Or the first time you interpreted or prophesied, did it come out perfect? Well, maybe not. Maybe you needed to get your head lined up with the Spirit, you know, to do it properly. And now you're all pros. These guys do it in two languages. You do it in three?
No, just two.
Oh, just two. Come on. Come on, Jay.
I'm working on the others, but I have okay. no need right now.
But look, we have Holy Spirit and we can use it. So second aid would be going to a believer and say, hey, look, I'm not feeling well. Please, would you minister healing to me? That's an available thing. And then third aid we have, we know, call up Nurse Erica. Mm-hmm. Erica, I slipped my finger. What do I do? You know? And that's called third aid. It's third and for a reason. Now, there's another one that it's not really fourth in line, but communion. Communion is another wonderful, wonderful way that God has given us this memorial by which we recognize the accomplishments of Jesus Christ, that we're healed and that we have forgiveness of sin. And guys, that forgiveness of sin, it's a deep thing. Because we have a sin nature and because we live in the world and we live among very judgmental people out there, hopefully not us, for us to recognize that we have sin, it's easy to hold on to it. It's easy to hold on to it. But communion is one time when we recognize because of Jesus Christ's accomplishments, we just let it go. We let it go. You are forgiven. God loves you, Lyssa, through and through and through. Same with you, Leonard, through and through. He loves you, William. Every bit of, he loves you. And he knows that we're not perfect, except for Nicole. But he knows that. Okay, 2 Kings, all right? Look at verse 20. I mean, chapter 20, verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick, unfortunately, unto death. Kind of a bad situation to be in. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Oh, good Lord. For one, for God to tell you you're going to die, it's not good. But when he tells you twice, you're going to die and not live, that's pretty bad. So Hez gets the news, and look at this. Verse 2, and he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I walk before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. That's okay. Look at verse 4. And it came to pass, by the way, it's okay to feel sorry for your sins. I sure hope that you do. When we make a mistake, we should feel sorry. We should feel bad that we do something wrong. But don't hold on to that, okay? Go to God right away and get rid of it. Get rid of it. Hot potato. Get it out of here. Let God take it. Verse 4, it came to pass after Isaiah was gone out to the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him saying, turn again. And tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. This is the only place I know where God told somebody twice something and he turned around. But he said, you know, he told him two different ways you're going to die. And then this guy prays, and even the thing that God told him, God decided to change. Why? Because the circumstance changed. Because Hezekiah changed his heart. He changed his heart. He turned to God. Look, so what? Lisa, let's say you get sick. So what do? Condemn yourself for the next 6 years? You could, but there's a better option. The better option would be to say, hey, God, I'm sorry. Please heal me. Please heal me. And what does God do? God's pretty quick to come and bring deliverance. We'll see, it's very much his desire. Second Chronicles we want to go to. This record happened a couple of hundred years before the other one. I guess that doesn't matter. I don't know why I told you that. Verse 16. I mean, no, chapter 16. That'd be terrible if it was all one chapter. Verse 1027. 16, and look at verse 7, please. 7. At the time, hey, Nani Nani, the seer. Does anybody ever say that name right? Not anymore. I guess it's true. The seer. The seer is the prophet, okay? It's just another term for the prophet. Came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, Behold, thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God. Therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. There's kind of a lesson here, right? Let's first rely on God. Good lesson. Verse 8. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. Remember, Asa? Remember? You did it right once. And really, he wasn't such a bad guy at first, but his heart started to turn away from God. And one thing that he did is he started relying on the senses instead of going to God first. Verse 9, and here's the context to this. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein, Asa, thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Then verse 10, Asa didn't turn his face to the wall and pray to God. Asa was mad with the seer, with the prophet, and put him in a prison house. For he was in a rage with him because of this thing. You know, shoot the messenger. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. And behold, you don't like this when this part's written. The acts of Asa, first and last, means that he died, you know. Lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. He made third aid first aid. Third aid is there. It's nice to have. Every once in a while, Dr. Advil is okay. But look, God first. God first. Dr. God, how about that? God first. And then look, don't stay sick, but still keep believing God, right? So what if you take an Advil or eat a beet, you know, or whatever, echinacea, or drink that tea, or, you know, what people do, run around naked, I don't know. But whatever it is, still God first. If we put God first, second, we go to a believer and say, hey, you know, I'm not feeling so good. Could you pray for me, please? And ask them to minister healing to you. Psalm 107, please. Psalm 107. What a beauty this one is. Psalm 107. Asa had a pattern in his life of not going to God first. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, see, we can build this pattern of in all our ways. I have to do something, go to God first. I have to address this, go to God first. Here's something coming up, go to God first. Just take the time, and it becomes then a pattern in our life. Asa developed a bad pattern in his life. Hezekiah, not so. Hezekiah went right to God on his deathbed, like we read in that psalm. We can be the same. Go to God first. And you know what? If you don't see the result right away, so what? Don't give up. God is a God of healing. That's who he is. Okay, I told you 107. Verse 20, he sent his word, and what happened?
Healed them.
And delivered them from what? Like everything. Like everything. Look, we put God first in our finances, right? We abundantly share. I think most of us are pretty good at that. We give to God first in our finances, and he prospers us in so many ways. Well, what about in our health? Why not the same thing? We go to God first. Acts chapter 5. Chapter 5. I would like to see the day that this happens right here in our good city, Acts chapter 5. You see, when people walk with God, when God's word becomes preeminent in their life, when they have this pattern of going to God, the entire body of believers starts to be elevated in their believing. Believing inspires believing in others, especially the manifestation of believing, inspires believing in others. So let's say Jay gets sick. Sorry, Jay. But let's say Jay gets sick, and then she asks Eddie to pray for her, and Eddie ministers healing to her, and she gets healed. Let's tell the world. Let's tell the world. Because I hear that and it reminds me and cements again in my mind, I can do that. I can go to God to get healed. Well, that's what was happening in the book of Acts by the time it got to chapter 5. And here, all these apostles were ministering just as they had been since the day of Pentecost. But more and more people started believing and getting excited about God's word. And signs and wonders were happening. We don't see a lot of signs and wonders in our life, but we could see more. And how? What we call somewhat, for some reason, the temperature of our believing, it's not a bad term actually, I think, can rise as we share with each other the great deliverances we have from God's word. As we keep that word of God in our minds, and we can expect stuff like this. 5:14, and the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. That means that we'll have to have bigger houses or something, have bigger fellowships. Jeff will have to do another remodeling. Verse 15, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter might overshadow some of them. Good Lord. Anybody been healed by a shadow? Is there any intrinsic healing properties of a shadow? I don't like shadows. I like light, personally. But a shadow, healing? It's crazy. But there was the believing. There was the believing. Verse 16, there came also multitudes out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. The believers had so renewed their mind and were so like-minded on God's word that it was just elevated. There was great, great result from their believing. Well, that's the same thing that we can expect in our lives. We have God. See, many people reject God all their life. And then they're on their deathbed, and for some reason now he's their best friend. I always thought that was funny, especially people who say that God makes you sick to make you humble, yet they spend their last minutes praying to God, please heal me. Funny thing. But for us, let's just keep that pattern in our lives. Go to God first. Let's go to God first. So I get sick. Okay, it's not the end of the world. I get sick. By the way, even if I got sick and died, I still have eternal life. And the next thought for me is what? Dun, 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 whatever the trumpet sounds like, I don't know. That shout of an archangel, I have no idea what an archangel sounds like. But all that's the next minute for us if we die. But let's say we go to God. Let's say instead we go to God first. Well, look, expect him to heal you. The greatest healing that we have seen is people just believing God's word. It's the greatest healing that we've seen. People just believing God's word. I've been in fellowships where I've seen people healed when the word of God was presented and taught. It's the greatest healing. But look, let's say it's hanging on for a little while. Go to a believer. Don't waste a lot of time. Go to a believer. Get ministered to. And then let's say, for some reason, it's still not there. Don't stop believing. All healing comes from God, whether it's from a doctor or not, whether it's miraculous, instantaneous or not, or you drink the echinacea and eat the beets, you know, whatever. It's all from God. But if it turns out that you need Dr. Advil, so okay, there's Dr. Advil, okay? But let's just keep it straight. And of course, communion is such a wonderful thing that we have. 1 John chapter 1 is where we're going to close. 1 John. By the way, it's stupidity and egotism to condemn yourself if you're sick. Stupidity and egotism, because you're saying that your opinion, your poor opinion about yourself and God's ability is better than God's. God says he's a God that heals. No verses in the Bible contradict that for us. None. So we can just go to God first. But I'll tell you one thing that robs our health, maybe more than anything else, is sin consciousness. The consciousness of sin. You know, as we do communion this year, let's please take some time before and after, you know, like maybe start now, to cleanse ourselves from sin consciousness. So you didn't have a perfect life. By the way, anybody who did? Okay. Were you going to raise your hand? Oh, okay. Anybody there? No? Okay. So look, we've all screwed up already, okay? He remembereth our, he knows our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. So what's the expectation? Then we make a mistake. Good Lord, I said something bad to my wife. Well, I'm sorry. I should be sorry to my wife. And I should be sorry to God. And then what? Drop it. Drop it. Get rid of it. Now. Now. It's poison. It is poison. Just like selfishness. Sin consciousness is poison in your body. It's poison. Drop it. Get rid of it as soon as possible. Okay? And then we go to God first. God first. And God's right there. Right there. You think Asa was perfect? Hezekiah was perfect? David was perfect? We all know records about these guys that pointed otherwise, huh? God needs us to be healthy and to move on. He needs us to be walking with confidence with him. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin is the underlying cause of all sickness. And it says in this verse quite clearly, look, so what? You screw up. What do? You go to God. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to wipe out, cleanse us. Who's that guy that's wears all white and clean? Mr. Clean. Mr. Clean through everything. That eraser, isn't he the one with the eraser? You know, you have the eraser. It looks, you know, your bathroom looks like something died. And then you take the little eraser and sparkles come out. That's what he's done for us. He has taken these sorry bodies that we have and sparkles. We've got sparkles to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.